This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Okay, Sharp Money is back, and it's been a long week as we sit here on a Friday. The big guy finally came back from vacation, Dustin Sweetelson, hanging out at the D, downtown Las Vegas. I'm Patrick Maher, live from Los Angeles. It does legitimately feel good to be back off the heels of the Hall of Fame game and football. Again, it doesn't matter who starts. It doesn't matter who was playing. Inject it right here, Dustin. Find a vein and inject it, because the NFL, they've got us. That's what they do. Go ahead. I see you chomping at the bit.
No, I was going to say, it's just the beauty is we are creatures of routine. And look, y'all can enjoy basketball. You can enjoy March. You can enjoy all these other sports seasons. But there truly is no feeling of just knowing the way your week and day lays out with the football and how you need to approach every single day of the week. Every week's kind of the same going forward. I need the routine. It makes me a better person, and it always comes with the football season.
Do you enjoy friendship?
Friendship and happiness for everyone.
Well, because I was gone for a month and I didn't hear from you. I did hear from Aaron Halterman, who's part of the family. Okay. We've got a family play coming up in just a bit. And multiple times I heard from our next guest, who's also a colleague. And I would say the sharpest better I know, of course, Mike Somich, host of The Handle on the weekends. Mike Somich with the Somo Bomb Progressive Guest Line on a Friday joins us. And it's great to see your face. And you're my friend. More than Dustin, I appreciate our friendship. How are you?
I'm doing good, man. I knew I had to check in at least once, or else I would get so much crap from you today on the air. So I made sure I made that call, checked in. I'm surprised you missed your dog. You mentioned that to Thomas Gable earlier. Did you not bring Correct. Your dog with you up to Michigan?
I did not. I actually had an awkward, and we'll get to, we got a stakes race coming up at Saratoga. You're fading the Texans as well. We'll get to that in a second. I had an awkward situation, boys. I had to leave my dog for 10, 11 days, and I had somebody stay at my place, sleeping in my bed.
No.
Like the whole entire, I paid extra to have them stay here. And then when I came back, I just felt it was a little awkward. I'm not going to lie. It was a little awkward.
Yeah. I have a lot of things around my house and drawers and whatnot I'd prefer no one ever find. So I can't handle that.
Samo, you understand though, as a dog owner, the comfort factor of have the routine stays the same. But when I got back and I looked at the bed and I was like, Shorty was there and I believe her boyfriend was over.
So oh, it made me no, feel throw the bed out. Burn it.
Yeah, you got to have the right person if someone's staying over there. You're looking for like the 55-year-old, 60-year-old woman who's, you know, single and just wants the company of a dog. That's what you're looking for if someone's going to stay at your place.
Yeah, it's illegal cool. In some states, a lonely Look, woman looking for the company of a
dog. Take it easy, big guy.
Go down to Tijuana if you want to watch
finder.
That, Mike.
I'm not looking to watch it, Dustin. That's your own thing.
I can tell you
So one of the things, and you know, because you're so sharp with football and basketball and hockey and a multitude of sports, I don't think people really realize your acumen and how you and I met with the racing dudes, Aaron and Jared. I don't think people really understand your acumen when it comes to horse racing and horse betting. And we do have the Oaks Invitational, which is great too, coming up at Saratoga. But Somich, that's kind of the base for you. And in fact, I do believe right now you're sweating out a couple of contests. Fill us in.
Yeah, sweating some contests out. There's a big contest this weekend that I'm not in yet, so trying to qualify for it last minute right now on Horse Tourney's phenomenal way to get involved in horse racing if you want high upside with lower risk there. It's been a chalky day, man. We need to get some bombs home here. We need some prices, but it's been all chalk in the tournament so far. I think this race coming up, the Saratoga Invitational, is going to be a chalky one as well. It's a better betting race, really, than it is a tournament race. The one-horse Cinderella's Dream is going to be in here for Charlie Appleby. William Buick made the trip across the pond to ride this one last time, won the Belmont's Oaks Invitational. Now you're trying to pull the double off here with the Saratoga Oaks Invitational. Short price right now on the board, 1-2, a very likely winner. But with the scratches in this field, you've got the four horse Makanga here, who is going to go right to the lead. Went gate to wire, two back on the turf, going to try and do the same thing. And it really sets up well. If you want to bet this thing, you can exacta right now 1/4 at 5-1. So I'm going to bet this one. I'm going to take the best horse on top, and then the horse who has the big pace edge over everybody else in that second spot. Instead of getting 1-2 on the favorite, you can try and hit a cold exacta here, 1/4, and get a 5-1 price.
Okay, so we're going ice cold. We're not going to box it?
Oh, we don't box, Patrick. Come on.
I do box.
Point. Let's go.
Okay.
Baby.
I am not. I'll try to clean up my language here. I'm a little more conservative when it comes to horse racing and horse betting than you are, so I tend to box. But I think that's a good example. First off, how many minutes until post time, and then we can explain the exact of whether you're boxing or going ice cold.
Yeah, we got 5 minutes to post, so still plenty of time to get your wagers in here. Head over to ExpressBet, one of my favorite ADWs, one of these sponsors here for VSiN. Excited to have that on board. And pop in that 1-4 exactly here. Like I said, 5-1 right now. And the reason why in these type of situations I'm not boxing is because it really dilutes your opinion. If it comes in 4-1, you're looking at a $10 payout right now. So only 2-1. I would rather just bet the 4 to win at 5-1. Then box the exacta, because you're getting a better payout there with the 4-1 straight than you are playing the 4-1 exacta in a lot of ways. To me, this is a race that goes through the one. Clearly the best horse in the race. And when I have a big opinion but don't like the price, you got to figure out a better way to get paid. In this case, to me, it's that cold exacta. I don't want to play it the other way, because if I box this and it runs 1-4, I only get 2.5-1. And I don't think that that's a 50-50 chance the one wins this race. I think it's closer to around that 75% chance, which is what the current 1-2 odds dictate. So I want to try and find a way to really juice up that payout. To me, playing cold exactas, cold trifectas, cold daily doubles, which means you're playing just one horse in each of the spot, allows you to kind of be able to make some money off of these 1-2 favorites, which is tough to do when you're betting to win.
Okay, Dustin, was that the first well actually of the football season, even though we're talking horse racing? Because I wanted to box and he hit me with a hard well actually. Is that true, big guy?
Yes. Yes. I also want to point out that Mike came in out of the gates knowing he had to, like, bake in Patrick's mood and attitude into how he handles things. And that's just how everyone has to be around you, Patrick. I want to point that out. Give Mike credit for acknowledging it.
I would say my mood has been exemplary.
No.
Would you disagree?
Because Mike did what he needs to do, which is reach out to you well in advance,
yes,
see how
true.
The vacation's going. Had he not, your mood wouldn't be. Yeah. So Mike did the right thing.
Yes, I am a diva. I do like to be buttered. Yeah. Get with the program, big guy. All right, so hold on. Let's do it one more time. The race is coming up in just a bit. Race 8, Saratoga, grade 2. I am going ice cold. We're going who on top?
Go with the 1-horse Cinderella's Dream on top and the 4-horse Makanga in second. We expect the 4 to go out early, set the pace of the race, and the 1 to absolutely mow her down late. And this to finish 1-4 cold. Right now, the exacta is still paying 5-1, and we're getting 2-5 on the 1-horse. So a much better price with the exacta 1-4 than just betting the 1 to win.
The bet is in, and just a few minutes to post time. Mike, it's tremendous to see you. We were talking about the Texans. So last night was a little different. Again, it was all void over at the Borgata because they didn't get to the allotted minutes with the weather-shortened game. What I found fascinating, not just a line move, and really a lot of that line move comes down with the crystallizing of who's going to play at quarterback, and with Bajent really not, prior to the game, getting a, you know, this understanding that it was going to be Rippon and the rookie, and then you have established quarterbacks there with the Texans. You saw that number pushed up to 2.5 with the Texans favored. The total in the first half was fascinating because it jumped 16-17 in the first half because that weather report, which was unclear, started to crystallize, and we knew the rain was coming in the second half, and they cleared that first half total of 17 easily.
Yeah, the preseason's all about steam. You don't want to steam chase during the regular season. A lot of times, steam chasing during the preseason makes sense because it's hard for these books to get information about who's going to start, who's going to play how many series. Weather, obviously, a huge factor when you're talking about totals as well in these type of games. And yesterday is one of those rare occasions where it didn't seem like the steam was going to be right. However, I don't think any of us had the Rippon game coming where he just looked electric out there, throwing the ball deep all over the place. I thought it was a very interesting football game, though. I watched every snap. I enjoyed it. I couldn't believe we had football back. I was so excited to be able to get out there, get on to just sit in front of my computer and watch this game. I'm not sure about this Texans team. I know you guys were out there talking about it. There's not much depth on defense. We saw the Bears go up and down the field against them, but I thought Dustin's point was a phenomenal one in the first hour when he's talking about this team. To me, it's all about this schedule. When you look back last year, they won 0 games against teams that went to the playoffs during the regular season. They had 10 wins all against teams that did not go to the playoffs, but even more so, let's talk about the quarterbacks they faced last year. The best quarterback they faced, week 1, Lamar Jackson. After that, you could make a case it was the Tampa Bay Buccaneers that was the next best game of a quarterback that they face with Baker Mayfield. This year, they've got Love. They've got Mahomes. They've got all of these top quarterbacks because they're switching from that fourth place schedule to a first place schedule. And I didn't like that defense last year. Now, without any real additions, yeah, I get it. They added Hunter. That's great. He's maybe a half point at absolute most when you're ranking a team or power ranking a team. I just don't see it from the defensive side when they're facing this specific schedule with these quarterbacks. I'm on the Colts. I played them at over 3-1 to win the division. I'd still play them at over 3-1 to win the division. I love Shane Steichen. I realize Anthony Richardson is the real wild card in this spot. But to me, this Colts team has upside, and they have a significantly easier schedule. The comp is the Jaguars last year. We saw the Jaguars win that playoff game against the Los Angeles Chargers. Everyone was high on them going into the season last year. The same thing with the Texans. They beat a weak schedule. They won a playoff game against a bad Browns team, and now everyone absolutely loves them to the point where they're bet off the board in the division. I like the Colts quite a bit here at 3-1. I don't think they're the most likely team to win, but from a price perspective, I think they're the only bet in the South.
No, it's great. And actually, the big guys breakdown, I was leaning towards fading the Texans because you mentioned opponents last year. They've got seven opponents who qualify for the postseason this year. They've got the fourth hardest schedule this year. They've got the Ravens, they've got the Chiefs this year, they've got the AFC North, AFC East this year. Dustin, quickly, before we go to break, we'll come back and discuss and potentially have the results of that eighth at Saratoga. But Dustin, that was a good job by you. You've convinced me.
Well, and it's also for me, Mike likes the Colts. I think the number on the Jaguars is kind of crazy. I think they actually improved this offseason, despite losing a guy like Calvin Ridley. We can talk about that more. I think this division, though, is more wide open than the odds would tell you.
Come back. Maybe the result of a grade two at Toga. We've got the one over the four. Samich is here on a Friday. Samich knows our 2024 VSiN College Football Betting Guide is available now. This guy is your ultimate resource for the upcoming college football season, including previews of all 134 teams, a preseason top 25 power ratings, proven betting systems, and more. You can sign up now and receive both the college football and NFL betting guides, plus full VSiN Pro access to our daily pro picks, 24/7 video exclusive data, like our betting splits all the way through the Super Bowl. It's a great deal. An early bird discount price of just $175. People, get on this now. It's going to go away. Or you can sign up for a monthly subscription. See if you like it for the first 30 days. Just $19 to see everything VSiN has to up your betting game. Don't miss out on the preseason deals. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe to sign up today. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. And we had a great meeting earlier today. As I mentioned, Dustin Sweetelson, the D, Mike Samich, of course, VSiN host, professional handicapper. I'm Patrick Maher, live from Los Angeles. It feels good to have the boys back together. Progressive Guest Line brings you Mike Samich. But we've got, be on the lookout, if you're a current, and front of the room, Samo asked this question, if you're a current VSiN pro, there could be some deals coming for you next week. Got a chuckle out of the big guy. And if you're looking to become a VSiN pro, be on the lookout. We're rolling out some great deals next week as well, but you can sign up for that early bird special for $175. Now, I don't know if we want to blame Velasquez on the four, but the four was a donk.
The four was a donk. It was one of those frustrating things. You watch enough horse racing, you can kind of tell when a horse doesn't settle. So when you have a front runner, you want him to look comfortable, have a high cruising speed, and just be able to kind of cruise out there. The four was just fighting Velasquez every step of the way. They ended up going slow, but that four horse wanted to go fast. And what happens is when a horse fights the jockey, it takes up energy, and then you got nothing left in the tank turning for home. The four never even got to the rail. It was just an absolute mess of a race from the four. The one wins easily. We were right about that part. The four, not so much. Ended up fading to last, which is not fun. But hey, we got one more stakes race coming up, Patrick.
Yeah, we got a race coming up at 2:45 from Saratoga. Mike Samich actually just returned with the family from Saratoga. Dustin, to explain a horse that just won't settle, it's almost like you go out on one good date and then you just text bomb the girl. Things went well, but you're just over eager and she just fades away. That's the explanation.
Like, I tell you these things in private. You don't have to like tell the world that they actually happen. Like,
and I wasn't calling you a horse. I'm simply saying. Okay, so you guys are both fading the Texans. Now, the number is 9.5 on the season win total. 10 wins last year. You mentioned the schedule was a dog last year. The schedule was the four horse today in the eighth at Saratoga last year for the Texans. First place schedule this year. I don't know if you're willing to go under 9.5. I won't put words in your mouth here, Samich.
I'm much more interested in the miss the playoffs prop that you were talking about, -105, than going under the 9.5. You could see a 10-win team miss the playoffs in the AFC this year. I do think that there's a chance that this Texans team is decent. Like, I like this team. It's tough because there's some teams this year where I'm like, yeah, they're a little bit better than last year. I think that they're a good football team. They're going in the right direction. But the schedule just doesn't pan out for what the betting market currently believes inside that team. And that's a big part of it when you're watching football, when you're betting on football. It's not just your opinion on a team. It's your opinion versus the market. And it's not like I hate this Texans team. I think they're a bad team, anything like that. The market just loves them so much more than I do that I'm looking for ways to bet against them. To me, the best way to do that is to take the Colts or the Jaguars, whoever you like in that division, as the division winner, because you're getting 3-1. But if you want to fade, just straight up fade the Texans. To me, to miss the playoffs, -105 is the route I'd go.
Well, I'll do you better. +150 to miss the postseason. So the no on the Texans, you're getting +150, which is a tremendous price. And you mentioned it, Mike, as I was doing my research on the Texans, I literally wrote down Jacksonville vibes. And what we're talking about, big guy, Jacksonville last year, consensus to defend their AFC South title, first place schedule, it doesn't come to fruition. That does feel like the Texans this year.
Yeah. Look, the hunted versus hunter element is my number one concern here. I just think we see teams do something once. It's very hard to do it again when there's time to prepare for defensive coordinators. That's the biggest thing for me with this Texans team. They caught everyone by surprise. They weren't ready for it. They didn't know what Stroud was going to be. They didn't know how DeMeco Ryans was going to be as a head coach. All of those unknowns were established. We now have a baseline to work off of. And then I look at this division. The Colts are scary. They almost made the playoffs with Gardner Minshew. And I'm bullish on this Jags team. I think the Armstead addition on that defensive front is huge for them. You hope Trayvon Walker, who was a number one pick, hope that he can pop a little bit more. He hasn't been great, but he's got all the talent in the world alongside a guy like Josh Hines Allen. He added the Hines to his last name this offseason. But I thought they made some under-the-radar moves. I thought Mitch Morse is really, really underrated for them at center. That guy was the heartbeat of the Buffalo offensive line for the last few years. Now gets to play his home games down in Florida. Also, Darnell Savage going from Green Bay to the back end of this defense adds something at safety for them. And then I think they're not going to miss Calvin Ridley Jr. because there is a world where Brian Thomas hits the ground running at 40-1 for Offensive Rookie of the Year. I think he is very much live.
Well, I know you're bullish on Brian Thomas because you dropped the junior. So your Jags in division, and then Samich will finish it up, your Colts in division.
Yeah, I like the Colts here. I like the coaching staff significantly. That's my one concern about this Jaguars team. I didn't see the bump from them last year from a coaching perspective. They found ways to lose the game, and it felt like you just saw Trevor Lawrence struggle in clutch, and that is a problem for me, especially when you're going to play a lot of coin flip or closer games if you're that Jaguars team. The Titans, I think, got a little bit better as well. I don't think you can just dismiss what they did in the offseason. I think they're going to be a better football team in the bottom half of this division too. But yeah, to me, it's the Colts here. I like Steichen. I like the upside with Anthony Richardson. I love Pittman Jr. from a wide receiver perspective. I agree. I think Brian Thomas Jr. is going to be someone who is 100% a great addition for that Jaguars team. Played him over touchdowns for the season because I think he's going to be the number one red zone target for Lawrence. But I just don't trust Lawrence enough to be able to go and back him to win the division, and which is crazy because Anthony Richardson only played 3 games last year, but man, he was very good inside of those games. If he stays healthy and Steichen can figure out how to utilize him properly, and he was the one who figured out Hurts, don't forget. I think this Colts team has every opportunity to surprise people. And Dustin mentioned it. They were a drop fourth down pass away last year from winning this Correct. Division with a tougher schedule than what Houston had to play and Gardner Minshew at quarterback. To me, there's a ton of upside with this Colts team. I just can't say the same with the Texans.
Wasn't it Taylor that dropped the pass?
No, that was the big bugaboo. It was like their third string running back who hadn't caught a pass all year.
That's right. Zach Moss. Yeah. No, great job. This wasn't. We'll get to your notes in a second. We'll get to the race over at Saratoga. But I just wanted to throw some of these numbers because Dustin and I were taken aback. And it's the Chicago Bears, 7-10 last year. Obviously, first overall pick. Excellent to close out the season. They bring back Eberflus. They move on from Fields and obviously Caleb Williams. We understand the weapons. Tremendous. But the win total is 8.5, $1.65 juice to the over. Look at division. Plus 135 on the Lions. That's actually, to me, a pretty good price. The Packs, plus 225. Samich, in the North, the Chicago Bears are plus 275. That is a hell of a lot of respect.
It is wild. It is wild. Like a 22% implied win percentage to win the division. That's crazy when you actually think about it. One in every 4 years, the Bears are winning this division if you want to be profitable on this bet. No thanks. My biggest bet I have in coming into this football season is Lions plus 150 to win this division. I bet it like four or five separate times. I think because of the love you're seeing for the Packers and the Bears, the Lions are grossly mispriced in this spot. I think they should be minus 110, minus 105 to win the division. So I still think there's quite a bit of room at plus 135. And to me, you can't believe in the Packers and the Bears. You can't believe in both of them. You got to pick a side here. To me, the Packers are the side that you pick. They're a more proven team. You don't have a rookie quarterback. The defense should be better for Green Bay. The Bears love is just out of control. And I get it. Like, again, they had nice additions the offseason. You added Dunze. You add another weapon on the outside. You add Caleb Keenan Williams Allen. In that number one. Keenan Allen. You add Caleb Williams. But do we really expect that you're just going to see another rookie throw for 4,000 plus yards? I can't buy it, especially behind that offensive line. I saw Williams decide to try and spin out of the pocket and run around the defensive ends way too much versus stepping up in the pocket at USC. That is a big thing that you need to be able to do in the NFL. Something CJ Stroud did very well last year was stepping up in the pocket. I just don't think the Bears hit the ground running. And if the wheels fall off, I think they could fall off real fast, especially with that defense. I don't completely trust what they did late in the season. I don't see a pass rush. They've got one good cornerback. The rest of the secondary is not great. There's still a lot of holes on the defense for the Bears here, and that division's absolutely loaded. The Vikings, I think, are even going to be better than last year, considering they had Dobbs playing quarterback for a while there last year as well. So this, to me, is a tough division. I just can't buy the Bears at all. I'm with you guys. Take the under, take the miss the playoffs, and bet the heck out of the Lions to win this division.
The miss the playoffs is minus 115 on the Bears. Are you kidding me?
I don't see it. I don't see how they're making the playoffs. And also, it's disrespectful to the Packers for them to be that close in division. It's disrespectful.
Yeah, I would agree. And Davenport and Reeder, I'm telling you right now, this Lions team, the buzz when I went back to Michigan is ridiculous. I will say something that's a little disconcerting is that the three of us generally fight.
Yeah.
And to start the season, we're kind of in agreement on everything, which is making me feel weird.
I feel like you watched a lot of me on VSiN over the break, Patrick.
I did. I Bill AD would text me when Samich was coming up, and I would stop my vacation and make sure I was completely freaking dialed in. We're back.
Sounds right.
Okay, Sharp Money, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, as we welcome you back on a Friday. But it's not just an ordinary Friday, because last night was a Thursday Hall of Fame game. Football is back, and you probably saw people on social media tweeting out. I know you saw a big guy, Dustin Sweetelson at the D, Mike Samich, our partner, joining us as well. I'm sure you guys saw it on the Progressive guest line, of course. Everybody just freaking out about the fact that yesterday was the start of football on Thursdays until the end of time. Essentially is what people were telling me. And that's what when we're embarking upon Mike Samich, a football season, like, again, it doesn't matter Caleb Williams. It doesn't matter CJ Stroud. It was more just about getting that injection into the veins and getting back into it.
Yeah, it was. And I was excited to see this kickoff rule. I think that, you know, you guys talked about it a little bit during the top of the hour. I think it's going to make a big difference in these games. I think you have to kind of assume that the dog is going to get an extra half point to a full point in the game. You're going to see some big returns as well. We're seeing the most vanilla style of returning these kicks, average 20 to 25 yards every single return. When we see these teams actually trot out what they're going to try and do, I think you're going to see a significantly better starting field position every single time we see a kickoff. I'm going to adjust my totals a little bit up, and I'm going to adjust the dog a little bit up. Assuming they're getting more kickoffs, they're going to have more opportunities to make plays off those. So I think this is good for dogs. I think it's good for total over betters. It'll be interesting to see what Vegas does with the opening lines on these games after seeing these kickoffs last night.
So professional handicapper Steve Fezzik 1,000% agrees with you. And he's going to be on the program on Monday to explain what the cappers are doing with this new kickoff rule. But he said, for example, if you're a 10-point underdog, you're going to... This is Fezzik. Quote, if you're a 10-point underdog, you're going to likely receive two more kickoffs during the course of a game than your opponent. The extra 5 yards, two that you get on those two kickoffs, will result in almost 10 extra yards of field position. That's worth almost 1 point. So you set a half a point to the dog to a point, and Fezzik is corroborating what you're saying. Looks like a full point to the dog. So we need more of a sample size. We're not, Samich, going to get what these special teams coordinators are planning on rolling out until the regular season, but it is going to have an impact for the better.
Oh, it definitely is. And you got to think about this in a couple ways. First off, the holding on kickoffs is going to pretty much disappear. We're just not going to see as many holdings, which means we're not going to see teams starting at the 10-yard line with the ball. If you're starting at the 30, 35-yard line, even if you go 3 and out, you're going to still be able to punt the ball deep into the other team's end. So there's a lot of positives for the team that's now receiving the football in these cases. And like Fezzik said, if you're getting two more kickoffs, you're going to have the opportunity to pin your opponents back deep twice more. You're going to get better field position twice in the game. It's going to make a huge difference in these football games. I do think it's going to lead to quite a few more points. And if we see teams consistently go for it on fourth down around midfield as well, we're going to get a lot more of those scenarios earlier in games right off of these kickoffs with teams trying to push the pedal to the metal.
The three of us can admit, big guy, it looked weird.
Look,
the bottom line is they're trying to cut down on injuries.
It makes sense.
And without that push before you actually have a bounce or a catch, that is that run up and that cut down on distance, that's going to cut down on injuries.
But I feel like it opens itself up for some creativity. I'm excited to see what these special teams coordinators do. They've literally just been chilling for like the last 20 years with really no changes to how they approach it. Every now and then you'll get the end around return. Maybe someone will throw it across the field, but really that only comes in desperate times. Now they have opportunities to pick up some plays. Let's see what you got. Go to the drawing board, draw something up, and let's have some fun. And then your note on everyone on social media, which, by the way, I have a long list of notes from vacation. You know, mine was shorter than yours by about 2 weeks. Just want to clarify. I have a lot of notes. Everyone on Twitter is very boring. Everyone, they say the same things that everyone else says. They think they're interesting. None of you are interesting. No one's special. I just want to make that the baseline here. And those same people that are talking about, so pumped my Thursdays are packed with football from here on out. Let's keep the receipts. And then week 7, Thursday, October 17th, tell me how excited you are for Bo Nix at Derek Carr, the Broncos at the Saints.
Wet blanket much? What are you doing right now? That's literally an NFL football game.
If Sean Payton returning home is your worst Thursday night football game, I'm pretty pumped for Thursdays. Come on.
The game's going to stink. Bo Nix stinks. Derek Carr stinks. Sean Payton is so overrated and annoying. I'm sick of everyone. Drew Brees made Sean Payton look great. Made him look like a genius.
Did somebody in management just yell at you during the break? Because you are cantankerous.
No, I'd be crying if they did that.
That's true. Let's get to the baseball bets, boys. And then we also have another stakes race coming up at Saratoga in just a few minutes. So we'll get that bet in as well. And we're going to start here. Milwaukee's at the Nats. You're going to go team total on the Brewers over 4.5, Samich.
Yeah, give me the over here. Jake Irwin pitching for the Nationals. He is ERA right now, 3.44, is expected ERA over 4. Also, don't like the bullpen here for the Nats. I would play Milwaukee, but don't really want to lay the minus 120 with Montas on the mound. So let's play the Brewers over 4.5 team total for the full game in this spot.
Okay, big guy, you're up.
All right, look, when it comes to a matchup today, I think it sets up perfectly for a first 5 under. We're going to go the Royals and the Tigers. Now, I do have some concerns about Cole Reagan's deeper into this game because I think the innings are finally catching up with the lefty. He is already at a career high, 128 in the third innings. However, he's facing a Tigers offense that does not hit lefties. On the other side, it's Tarek Skubal, your Cy Young favorite. And Tarek Skubal has been absolutely awesome this year. Over his last 6, 4-2, 2.03 ERA, 49 Ks, 40 innings pitched. Lifetime versus KC has had some issues, but this version of Kansas City, 24th in OPS against lefties. I'm sorry, that was Detroit. 24th OPS against lefties. Got to get back in my mix. I think the under is in play here because I think Skubal shuts them down early. And on the other side, I don't imagine Detroit doing much against Reagans early in the game. Later's when I have concerns about Reagans.
So I don't think this will surprise you, boys. There were two conversation points when I went back to Michigan. One, could Dan Campbell win the presidency of the United States? He's that popular. And two,
too coherent.
Will the Tigers trade Skubal? That's it. That was the only conversation happening. Skubal was dominating the conversation. Flaherty, whether or not they were going to get a just return for him, which you can argue, but the Skubal piece was the big one. Next up. Now, we should explain the bet because it's been a while, but Yanks to win it, not bat bottom of the eighth. Reds to win it, not bat bottom of the eighth. Mr. Somich.
Yeah, a couple teams
here. Excuse me, bottom of the ninth.
To not bat in the bottom of the ninth, it's a prop you can find over on DraftKings. It's the only site I found it on. I absolutely love this one. You had a guest on earlier talking about the Yankees minus 175. Well, guess what? Yeah, Yankees minus 105 to not bat in the bottom of the ninth. So shave 70 cents off that price. You got Gausman on the mound for the Blue Jays, someone who loves to blow up. Stroman, who has been pitched a little worse recently, but still been pretty good. And you have a Yankees team that's found their way again. They're starting to roll. The vibes are good. I'll take the reduced juice here, play the Yankees minus 105 to not bat in the bottom of the ninth. And then this Reds-Giants game, I think, is very, very interesting. You've got Harrison on the mound for the Giants. You've got Abbott on the mound for the Reds. Two lefties here. The Giants hit lefties slightly better, but neither hit them great. I played the first five innings under 4.5, but I also played the Reds to not bat in the bottom of the ninth here. We've used a lot of favorites when we're talking about this bet. You can also use the dog in these spots and get a lot of additional value. Right now, plus 160 for the Reds to not bat in the bottom of the ninth. So additional 45 cents over the current money line price for them to win in 8.5 innings. Do like Abbott and the Reds today, as well as the under here. And big guy, I like your under there. I looked at under 1.5 runs first three innings. It's plus 140 right now in that Tigers game, just because I do agree with you. I think it's going to be later that they get to them. I want just the first time through the lineup. So I do like the under 1.5 first three innings for Royals Tigers as well.
Love it. Love it. All right.
Yeah, and just quickly, Dustin, before you jump in with the pods, just quickly, you're saving 70 cents. Yankees don't bat again. Bowman gave out, I believe, $1.65 on the Yankees. You're saving 70 cents. Yankees don't bat bottom nine. That's over at DraftKings. Go ahead, Dustin.
All right. And Mike and I both have bets on Rockies Padres. Fascinating game. Rockies coming off 2 of 3 from the Angels. They're 6-7 since the All-Star break. Austin Gomber, the lefty on the bump. Make this make sense, guys. Austin Gomber has a 3.38 ERA at Coors Field, but 5.73 on the road away from the elevation. He last faced San Diego back on 5/15. They're familiar with him. You look at what San Diego's done lately. They are red hot in baseball. They took two from the Dodgers in a two-game set, swept them there. 9-2 post-All-Star break. But here's the key. They are killing lefties over the last 30 days. A 2.95 average, 8.38 OPS. I'm going team total San Diego Padres over 4.5 runs against lefty Austin Gomber. It's going to be an issue.
Love it. Somich, give us the next bet from Saratoga as we go to break. Quick.
We're going to go with the two horse here. Buttercream Babe, 9-2 in the next race at Saratoga. About 5 minutes to post. Like the three as well. Zurev, if you want to play an exact, a 2-3. But like Buttercream Babe the most.
You okay, Dustin?
That was a recent Google search for your boy. Hit the video section.
We like the two in the next, which is a stakes race at Saratoga. It's a good job by both of you. We're coming back with another family play and Somich right here on Sharp Money. Okay, best bets abound over at VSiN.com. Go check it out. Betting splits, exclusive articles, odds by state. You get your betting tools, your betting guides. It's all there at VSiN.com. It's tremendous on the mobile. Very easy to navigate. Go check it out. VSiN.com. Sharp Money presented by DraftKings. Okay, a couple things here. We've got the ninth coming up at Saratoga. It is a graded stakes race. Mike Somich, of course, the big guy, Dustin Swedelson. I'm Patrick Maher. We have a little over 2 minutes, Somich, until post time. So maybe I jumped the gun a little bit, but I wanted to make sure we got the play in. And we are Irad Ortiz up on Buttercream Babe. Now, Morning line was 8-1. Has shortened up, I believe, 9-2. Still a good price, and we're still on Buttercream Babe in the ninth.
Oh, we are, yeah. Buttercream Babe, 2 horse, 8-1 morning line. Now 5-1 right now on the board. This is third off a layoff for Mike Maker. Very good training turf horses. Irad picks up the mount. He's the best jockey in the world right now, so you love having him there. You've got tactical speed on this horse, so should be able to save ground both turns. I did play a 2-3 exacta as well, like Zurov, too. That's 21-1 right now. So I played 2-3 and 3-2. Played that one both ways. Boxed it up because the price is enough, and I don't have a monster opinion between the two, but like two horses. But like the price on the 2 Buttercream Babe, just slightly more, sitting at 5-1 right now. The 3 Zurov is at 4-1.
Again, boxing means those two horses, regardless, they just come 1-2, win place, and regardless of order, you win your bet. Just wanted to clarify. We are going to have the race go off during this segment, so get ready to do your best Tom Durkin in just a little bit here, Samich. But I wanted to ask you both about a play that got Dustin all excited when we talked about it during the break, and that is, Samich, you were on the Pirates in the NL. We'll start with you, and then we'll get Dustin's take as well.
Yeah, a couple weekends ago, I was walking around Las Vegas and decided it was time to put a Pirates to win the NL ticket in. It was 110-1 at the time, and the theory is pretty simple here. Give me this rotation in a short series. The Pirates just need to make the playoffs, and I can monetize 110-1 ticket. But I like their chances in a short series against a couple of these teams. You've got high-end pitching at the top and Keller. You've got, obviously, Skeens. If Jones comes back, he's able to pitch well. That's a pretty devastating 1-2-3 at the top. And like I said, at 110-1, very easy to monetize it, even if you start doing so in that first series. Right now, they're still sitting at 90-1. You get them 100-1 in a couple places. I think it's a great number for a team that's 5-1 to make the playoffs. And if they make the playoffs, they're as live as anybody. We've seen just wild stuff happen in the Major League Baseball playoffs over the last couple of years. I think the Pirates have a chance to shock the world here, win the NL, if they can make it in. And if they do, if they make it in the playoffs, I'm making money off this ticket because it is 110-1.
I'm sure. Is it still 110-1, big guy, or is it shortened up?
No. I took 60-1 a couple nights ago because I realized what Mike realized. You got to recalibrate sometimes when it comes to how you're looking at these teams. Earlier in the week, I bet the Mariners 25-1 to win the World Series. The reason was I believe their pitching in a series made them dangerous. They were better built for October than they are for the 162. So as long as they get there, I think their pitching can allow them to win a series or two, and then that ticket becomes live. And if I'm saying that about Seattle, I have to say the same thing about Pittsburgh. Thought they had a very solid trade deadline simply because they're the Pittsburgh Pirates. So you have to grade it on a curve, knowing how they don't want to spend. Brian De La Cruz adds another bat there in that outfield who can help them offensively. Isaiah Kiner-Falefa is a good versatile infielder piece that can be serviceable for them. So I give them an A on that. And then what Mike said is the key. They are better built like Seattle for if it's a short series to throw a few arms at you that can overpower you. All of a sudden, Mitch Keller, who was their ace, is probably their number three when it comes to the playoffs, just in terms of pure stuff. They go Skeens, they go Jones, they go Keller. This Ortiz kid pitching tonight has been really good of late. Yeah, all of a sudden, the Pirates feel live if they just get in the dance. So it's 60-1. It was worth a flyer.
Good job, boys. Like both of them. Here's what we're going to do. Let's get Halterman, part of the family, called me during the break. Love it. Let's get his family play in. When we come back from Halterman, we'll have the ninth at Saratoga. Big guy, set it up.
You know him, racingdudes.com. Key member of the family, founding father when it comes to the Sharp Money family. Here's the plus money prince, minus 110. Sharp Money family 110. Play for today.
110.
Sharp Money family play.
What's up, Sharp Money? The family plays are back today, and I'm going to go with the Milwaukee Brewers, minus 115, taking on the Washington Nationals in Washington. It kind of feels like the Nationals have overachieved this year. They're kind of starting to fade a little bit. That's my worry with Washington. They've lost four in a row. Of course, they were on the road for three tough games just recently in Arizona. Back home here, though, taking on another tough team, the Milwaukee Brewers, trying to kind of win the Central Division, 5.5 games ahead coming into the day. Frankie Montas Montas gets the start. He just got acquired by the Brewers from Cincinnati. So we'll see if he can get his first start off to a good one here. Takes on Jake Irvin. So pitching matchup, it's fairly even in my opinion, but I think the Brewers much better team, got a lot more to play for. Washington kind of starting to fade out of that wild card race. And so with Milwaukee, they're right in the thick of it. They're in a good spot. They need to get out here and they need to get a couple of wins here in Washington. So give me the Milwaukee Brewers -115 for my best bet of the day.
Okay, there he is, racingdudes.com, Aaron Halterman. And no offense to you, Simich, or you, Sweetelson, but when I saw Halterman's face, I smiled. I didn't do that with the two of you. That's not a negative. I'm just being completely honest.
No, now, we just know what you're into now.
No, Samich, speaking of racingdudes.com, it looks like it's close to post time here at the ninth at Saratoga.
Well, we're actually done with the race, Patrick. During Aaron's little tirade there, we had the race go off. Buttercream Babe got a brutal trip and ran third. So we lost.
Buttercream Babe.
Not fun. The four horse neat was not giving us any room the entire time during the stretch. They were bumping hindquarters. Don't say anything, Dustin, down the lane. And unfortunately, the two got the worst of it, ended up running third in the race.
Buttercream Babe lets us down. And Dustin let us down by not having a zing after that.
Well, no, I've been trying to find out info on this horse, and I keep trying to search Buttercream Babe on my work laptop, but the filter keeps denying me.
Right. We knew that was coming. Now it's our first day back from break. The three of us are together. You know what we're going to do now? We're going to close some tabs. Let's go, Dustin.
All right. Look, want to explain this for people. Boxing and horse racing means a wager where the customer selects multiple horses to finish in a certain position, first, second, or third, but any order. Just wanted to explain that to people out there. Let's see. You mentioned Caleb Williams having to go up in front of the team, say who he is, where he's from, where he went to school, and his signing bonus. Just reminds me, movie reference. Mike will get it. Patrick won't. The rest of America will also get it because they do watch movies. Kindergarten Cop. Who is your daddy and what does he do? Okay. Next one. Chase Button.
Wait, hold on. Did Samich get the reference?
Of course he did.
I mean, I watched the movie. I don't remember that part.
You don't remember the kid's dad was a gynecologist?
No.
No. Right. I actually saw that movie, too.
All right. Chase Buttinger, selected 44th overall in 2009 by Detroit. Played 09 to 2016. Houston, Minnesota, Indiana, Phoenix. Trains in Patrick's backyard. He's holding him hostage.
Thank you. Yeah, and Buttinger and Evans lost to Spain today. Men's beach volleyball in Paris, but they can still advance to the quarters. Little known fact about me, Samich, I don't just see Chase Buttinger and Miles Evans training right out my front door, but I also see Sarah Hughes and Kelly Chang, who are undefeated, women's beach volleyball in Paris. Your thoughts?
A little known fact about me, Patrick, I played on those volleyball courts. I actually won a unranked tournament with my buddy who used to be an A-ranked player on 2-on-2 beach volleyball. Whoa. When I was in my early 20s and actually in shape.
What? I'm going to argue, and people will get upset about this. I'm going to argue beach volleyball athletes are some of the best athletes on the planet.
Oh, it is not even close. If you're playing the 2-on-2 tournaments in California, your first match starts at 7 a.m. You have to play a round-robin group to get out of, and then you have to win 6 matches in a tournament theory. The tournament that we won started at 7 a.m. The last point was around 7 p.m., 12 hours straight on the beach playing 2-on-2 volleyball in the sand, running, jumping. It was exhausting.
Thank you, Mike. See, Dustin, you learned something. What else?
All right, let's see. You guys were talking about the horse races being stakes races, which led me to think that you were actually talking about cows racing. It was very confusing. Let's see. Recapping vacation, the official song of my vacation was Michael Jackson's Beat It.
Anything else?
I'll give him a chuckle.
Also, Patrick, you use a phrase a lot, someone has a beautiful mind, and I know you haven't seen the movie.
I haven't.
I finally watched the movie, and based on what I watched, I don't think it's a compliment anymore to tell people they have a beautiful mind.
I think it means you go to the chalkboard, and there's a lot of scenarios, and you figure it out. That's what I thought.
You may want to watch the movie.
This guy was a genius. but also there was other major issues at play, apparently, and I don't think you can use that anymore to compliment people.
I literally have never even seen a trailer.
Hey, it's like 30
Somich
years old.
This weekend on the handle, the big guy this weekend with Michael Jackson. We will see you on Monday here on Sharp Money. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.